Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Boat Briefing podcast, which is sponsored by KVH, the service which creates innovative connectivity solutions for customers on sea, land and air around the globe. KVH is a global leader in mobile connectivity, content and value-added services with technology designed to enable a mobile world and keep mariners always connected. To find out more, visit www.kvh.com. I'm Content Director Lucy Dunn, and here to help me navigate through all of this week's news from the world of super yachting is editor of Boat International US edition, Cecile Gowart. Hi, Cecile.
Hi, Lucy.
How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
I feel like we've just seen each other, haven't we?
So we're both fresh in from the Palm Beach International Boat Show, which is just up the road from you in Fort Lauderdale, Cecile. So no jet lag for you.
Right. No, not for once. I should have been bright and energetic, but maybe I had a sympathetic nerve and I felt a bit tired throughout the show. For you, it was a big time change, and it was your first time in Palm Beach, wasn't it, Lucy?
Yeah, it was, and it was my first proper boat show. I'm a bit of a newbie, so I was at the Monaco Yacht Show, but only for a few days last year. But I have to say, I loved Palm Beach. It was really compact, really easy to walk around and see everything, and I'd liken it to a sort of department store. You had everything there. From the beautiful retro J-Craft day boats, God, I love those, to the powerful sports fishers and all their kit, very much an American passion, I think. Right. To the bigger boats, I mean, it was like the fashion equivalent of a capsule wardrobe. You could just shop everything there. It's a great window shop if you're in the market to buy or charter, I think, because everything is really just a short stroll away.
That's very well put. So did you see anything you liked?
Oh, of course, quite a few things. I saw quite a few big boats. Obviously, they were my favourite. So I saw the 64.5-metre Bonetti Siena, mm-hmm. The 37-metre Vita Explorer Dardanella, which is amazing, has so many amazing stories to tell. The 44.2-metre Crescent Custom Muchos Mas.
I know that one well.
Yeah, that recently recorded a $4 million price drop and is asking $24,499,000 with Burgess. And then the other end of the scale, I saw the 1974 classic, the Canoe Stern Avanti 5 Fed Ship, which went through a refit last year and is now asking $3,450,000 with IYC. So a whole spectrum of yachts.
That sounds great. I actually wanted to see that Fed ship. I didn't get around to it. And of course, there was the first in the Ocean Alexander 35-meter Puro series, which debuted at the show. We were fortunate to be able to use her for our very first Boat Connect cocktail in the United States, an event that connects, as the name implies, suppliers with designers.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it was a nice event. Lots of people turned up and it was very lovely. And then after the show on Tuesday, I got an impromptu ride from West Palm Beach to the Berry Islands in the Bahamas on board the new Ocean Alexander. The crossing was really rough due to the weather and very high winds, but she handled it very well. Although she arrived crusted with salt.
Yeah, you see, we brought British weather to Palm Beach, didn't we? I mean, I mean, I've never seen rain like it. I think, I'd never seen rain like it. And that's saying something from a Brit. So, but anyway, I mean, it was a great boat. And obviously it's the first time that Giorgio Cassetta and Ocean Alexander have worked on a project together. So the interior and exterior were really elegant, spacious, and really well thought out, I thought.
Definitely.
But the 39.75-metre Baglietto Club M was my standout favourite of the show, I think. Her interiors are truly out of this world, all curves and super luxurious details. Literally everywhere you look, there was something to appreciate, whether an exquisitely shaped doorknob, a curved bedside lamp, or a statement arch. Even the ceilings had curves sort of carved into them. It was amazing. And I think you've written about her before, haven't you, Cecile?
Yes, I have, about 3 years ago now. She was also a Beau Design Innovation Award winner. I do remember that the owners are big fans of Salvani, who did the interior.
And he, I mean, he's so sophisticated and innovative, isn't he? I mean,
For sure.
It's such an amazing boat. Definitely my favourite. But those were just a few of my impressions of the show as a real newbie. So, but obviously you've been to a few boat shows in your career. I mean, how does Palm Beach compare to Flibs, for example?
Well, Fort Lauderdale is huge in comparison, for sure. But I think it's changing. It's very interesting. These days, Palm Beach attracts more of the super yacht people, designer, builders, and clients as well. Traditionally, it was, you know, more on the sport fish side of things, because some of the really big dealers and representative of, you know, fishing are in the Palm Beach area. But for whatever reason, now it's really becoming a super yacht show. It's been a gradual change, but I think it was the most obvious to me this year. Fort Lauderdale, to be honest, the show has suffered a little bit from the Monaco Yacht Show running a little bit later in the year. So it gives very little time for the yachts to cross over or to get on a transport and then to be ready for another show. So I think that's one of the reasons. And in Palm Beach, many big boats that can get into the docks at the main show can be seen just a few miles north at Rybovich, which is a big refit and service facility that you may know, Lucy.
Yeah.
Even if the boats there are not officially in the show, it certainly gives an excellent opportunity for yards, the designers and captains to allow qualified buyers to have a look. So the boats may be there just for service post-winter season and getting ready to leave for the Med or elsewhere. But that's a great opportunity as well for the show.
Yeah, I wanted to get to Rybovich and see Nero, and I did just ran out of time. So next time, or there may be not be a next time. I don't know.
Anyway. Sure, I hope so.
Did you have any favorite new boats or ones you hadn't seen before or really wanted to see?
Yeah, well, of course, the Ocean Alexander 35 Puro with Giorgio Cassetta designed for one was one of them for sure. I had been to their press conference 2 years ago at Flibs, and back then I was impressed with the level of design they were trying to achieve. It's definitely a new look for them and a great addition to the very successful models that they have made in collaboration with Evan K. Marshall in the last few years. So for sure, it was one of them. I also wanted to see Ancora, from the shipyard Meunier. It's written Meunier, but I guess they pronounce it Meunier.
Yeah.
I did actually not get on, unfortunately, but I went to the shipyard in Istanbul last June, and I was so impressed with that shipyard. And then not least was a boat that was not officially in the show, but was at Rybovich, and that was a magnificent Infinity Jest. And it did not disappoint.
Yeah.
This is a 72-meter turquoise, and it has a beautifully designed exterior by Valicelli Design, one of my favorite designers in terms of exterior styling for large boats. And it has a beautiful interior. I don't want to say too much about it because we will be able to see her on the covers of our May issues, and I don't want to spoil any surprises.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like you had a good show.
I sure did. I also caught up with a lot of friends. After years, the people that we work with in the industry, a bit, they feel like friends, you know. I stopped by Horizon, for example, for the cocktail on Friday during that magnificent rain that you just mentioned. And I just come back from Time One, where I attended their open house and spent time there with their dynamic US team. They were quite the life of the party in Palm Beach and also in Taiwan.
So tell me more about that trip. Was it a quick one?
Yes, it was a whirlwind. Just over 5 days, including the the transfer travel times. It was 50 hours of travel round trip from Fort Lauderdale, 3 days in Kaohsiung, but it was well worth it to learn the latest development and see the most recent launches from Horizon Yacht.
So what did you learn?
A lot. So there was it was packed with information. Horizon Yacht CEO John Liu, during the COVID year, decided to invest in a shipyard expansion at the tune of $30 million, more or less. Mm-hmm. It provided the main shipyard with 7 new bays, so 7 extra slots to build yachts, a newly updated and extra precise 5-axis router. It is so precise that they had to ask permission from the Taiwanese government because it presents a potential risk to national security, right?
Oh, wow.
And a 3D printer for fast prototyping. So they use it to make these plastic models very quickly, which they display on the shelf. The Horizon staff also benefited from that $30 million by receiving a brand new cafeteria, which is gorgeous. We had lunch in there. I kind of suspect it wasn't quite the lunch that they have every day there, but nonetheless, it's a beautiful cafeteria. And now they have room to park their two-wheelers. There's like a upward floor full of scooters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then John Liu is also investing in a 1,000-ton ship lift, which is not part of that $30 million, by the way, for their premier shipyard with an eye to develop the refit business.
See, we don't have a cafeteria. I don't know what we're doing. Maybe we need to.
I think we should really talk to the bosses about that.
Yeah, I think we should. We don't have a big extra fast 3D printer either, but anyway.
Ah, no. Well, I don't know what we would do with a 5-axis router, but maybe we need one of those as well.
No, I don't either.
So then we also visited ATEC. That's also part of the Horizon Group. That's the composite arms that produces the hulls and superstructures in very high quality composite. And it is also now, it also now makes part for the Taiwan's wind farms. And it also built components for the Harbour Bridge, which is a great new landmark on the Kaohsiung waterfront.
Mm.
Kaohsiung is a very industrial, you know, port, but they have worked really hard to develop the waterfront there. It's really great. They have a new district for entertainment with lots of restaurants. They're using the warehouses for, you know, bars and artistic exhibit and all this good stuff. Really cool.
It's definitely on my bucket list. Yeah. What did you see boat-wise there?
So they had the latest of their FD series, which is incredibly successful for them. And then we saw a new V77, which is a boat with a fishing cockpit. It's based on the V68, which was a kind of entry level boat that they had developed with US designer Jonathan Quinn Barnett. And they decided to add this really big cockpit to it. It is on its way now to the Pacific Northwest, where Horizon Yacht will open its first US West Coast location. So expansion is on their mind for sure. And then John Liu also mentioned, although he was not really wanting to discuss it too privately, but then he announced it on stage in front of all the guests that they are working on a 130-foot or roughly 40-meter yacht at the moment.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And then the FD series, as I was just mentioning, continues to yield great results for the yard with 75 built or in built.
Okay.
Yeah.
Busy yard.
Yeah. Designer Cordy Rover, the Dutch, really nice Dutch designer, collaborated with the CEO John Liu on that FD series. At the beginning, people were kind of rolling their eyes because it's a very different look. It has a vertical bow. You know, it's very, very voluminous. So people were sort of wondering what they were doing. Well, it worked out pretty well, I must say.
Yeah.
So Cordy Rover was there too, and I could see they were speaking of new design, but they both remained tight-lipped on the matter. I couldn't get them to tell me anything about what they were discussing.
Oh, you couldn't, not even, you know,
nope,
more persuasive talent, Cecile.
Nope, they didn't manage it. Nope. And
any
then,
anything
sorry.
Else?
Yes. Yeah, actually, there were some really interesting news. I don't know if you were kind of paying that much attention to the yachting industry back then, but a few years ago, Lexus, you know, the Japanese car builder, which is huge here, kind of has the ambition to become a luxury brand much wider than just cars. And so they had launched their first boat, which was LY650. They had actually collaborated with a U.S. yard to build it, and they launched that thing, that boat in the U.S. a few years ago. Well, now they are changing that into the L680, same look, just a little bit extended with the platform. And they've just announced at the open house that they were going to collaborate with Horizon Yacht on the construction of that Lexus.
Oh, wow. So that's really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was fascinating. But then while we were in Palm Beach and catching up with what was going on in the industry, some of our colleagues, including boat editor-in-chief Stuart Campbell, were in St. Bart. Can you blame him? And for the Bucket Regatta, obviously, it's really a shame the dates overlap this year, but we divided and conquered all the same.
Yeah, it was a huge shame. They came back sporting very good tans.
So what?
A bit annoyed.
Did they bring some news as well? Did they share with you what went on in beautiful St. Bart?
Yeah. So well. Firstly, I've got to mention the event we held at Ocean Club, which, according to Stuart, was really well attended and supported by Darwin Yachting and Bermuda Tourism Authority. All the chat there was about maintaining super yacht regattas. I mean, the challenge is to encourage new entrants and make it as appealing as possible. I mean, after all, it's quite a commitment to race a super yacht. It's complicated and costly. And I think it can be quite intimidating competing in close proximity to other large yachts, especially for your owner who doesn't have a strong racing background. But the essence of St. Bart's is about taking part and the social aspect. I'm sure you might agree.
Yes.
Not necessarily ending up on the winning podium, which is why organisers have recently introduced in the last few years two Corinthian Spirit classes, so a small class for boats under 30, for boats 30 to 35 metres, and a larger class for boats 45 to 77 metres. And these enable you to race without spinnakers, so you can enter and really put your boat through its paces.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I would not know where to begin, you know, but a trophy, of course, is an incentive for the race. So, yeah, it is a nice mix, though, of social activities, friendship. But I think people do care about the races, too, obviously.
Mm.
Speaking of which, I had a glance at the results, not thoroughly, but I did notice one of the boats that we are chasing for a feature, Nalaya, won race three and was overthrown in the Gazelle class. That should make our new owners and designer Nauta Design and Reichel Pugh very proud. She's a beautiful, beautiful new launch, relatively new launch from Royal Haussmann.
She is a beautiful boat, and I think it was her first racing debut at St. Bart's, I believe.
Yeah, it was. But she was not alone. There were actually four first-timers at the Bucket Regatta this year, from what I understand. The 15.9-meter Maximus, which is a Vitters and Freres production. Yeah. Nalaya, as we just mentioned. The 34-meter Zemi, which is Baltic, and Malcolm McKeon. And last but not least, the 35.4-meter Jellisio from Southernwind and Far Design.
And Jellisio ended up as overall winner, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That was very exciting, I'm sure. She won. She was declared overall winner after claiming victory in the L'Esprit One class. She was just delivered in 2003. And she's a beautiful hybrid sailing yacht by Thousand Wind of South Africa. And she's all carbon fiber. Of course, her owners were delighted by the win. And they said something to the effect that we never, ever dreamed of winning the bucket. And Jellisio performed well above expectations. And we are extremely proud of the entire team. I bet they are.
So let's get back down to the news, because it's been really busy news week. And so we've had to narrow it down just to a few that we found most interesting, or we'd be here a while.
Yes.
And don't forget, if you'd like to follow the news more closely, be sure to join our brand new Boat News WhatsApp group. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, it's like a broadcast group with news that you can like or share. You don't get dragged into chats with strangers, don't worry. Just go on to your WhatsApp chat and look for the updates icon. Then you just search for Boat International and then press follow. And don't forget to press unmute so you can start getting notifications, otherwise you won't see them. So yes, Cecile, would you like to talk about the first story?
Yeah, I will. First, well done on the plug for the WhatsApp group.
Thank you.
Well, yes, so in Palm Beach, Azimut revealed the details of its new flagship, a 44-meter Grande, which is quite amazing. It was designed by Alberto Mancini and M2 Atelier. They had been hinting at the flagship for some time, and they just confirmed it. And Azimut Benetti CEO Marco Valle said the yard had already sold 5 of these in the new line to existing Azimut owners. Azimut does have a nice bank of clients who tend to be repeat owners, so that's great for them. And he has described it as a new era for Azimut. The first of this four-deck 499 GT series is set for delivery in time for the September 2026 boat show season. And the whole reveal was done Italian style with water vapor, videos, soaring music, and it was followed by a lovely cocktail.
Very nice. And also in Palm Beach, Darman Yachting has lifted its lid on its latest 80-meter yacht concept, the Explorer 80. And the latest design will join the shipyard's current range of expedition yachts, formerly known as Sea Explorer. Darman Yachting has teamed up with Azure Yacht Design to develop the Explorer 80's exterior lines. And the yacht carries all the signature Sea Explorer trademarks, including the open bow, observation lounge, and enclosed wheelhouse, while the Manhattan loft-inspired interior by London-based design studio Harrison Eidsgaard brings warmth and refinement to the robust yacht. And alternative designs inside and out have been developed to offer clients options. So you can mix and match. It's quite a clever idea.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I like that they have these three options there. I guess they wanted to limit to 3 different layout, 3 different interior concepts, 3 exteriors, I think something like that, and mix and match. That very interesting concept as well. And I'm sure they will sell one pretty soon if they haven't already. Another one that caught my attention this week is that Dutch builder Mulder presented the interior of the 8th hull in its 36th series in Palm Beach as well. Construction of this 36-meter model began in October 2023 and is now in the final stages of construction. Delivery is slated sometime for the end of 2024, and they intend to bring the boats to sail in the United States. So the newly revealed interior are by a very well-known Dutch interior architect. I met her in Palm Beach. She's lovely. Her name is Rulifien Vos. Her signature style is all about delicate contemporary style with special attention to detail and use of high-end finishes. Further highlights to the boat include a 7-person pool, just you and your 6 closest friends, a dedicated gym and space for a Williams 625 tender, plus 2 water scooters.
I think my friends would definitely accept an invite on her.
Yeah. It's a lovely looking boat.
Yeah. So outside of Palm Beach, the 90-meter Ocean Coast Superyacht Dar has newly joined the market and is listed for sale with Vesa Kekkonen of Large Yacht Corp. Delivered with Ocean Co in the Netherlands in 2018, winning Motor Yacht of the Year at the World Superyacht Awards the following year, Dar was designed by Louis de Basto with naval architecture by Azure Yacht Design and Naval Architecture. She is scheduled to have maintenance and upgrade work this spring. And we can't finish this section without mentioning our global cleanup initiative with Burgess. Between 6th and 12th of May, we're partnering with this leading brokerage firm on a project that invites the yachting industry to help tackle water pollution.
You can't have enough of these initiatives, and it sounds quite interesting. So what does it entail?
So it is. The Global Cleanup will encourage anyone in super yachting, individuals, yacht crews, teams, companies, to pledge to clear at least one bag of litter per person from their local area, be it beaches, ocean fronts, to waterways and rivers. And the campaign hopes to encourage people to do something positive for ocean health in their local communities and promote a regular pattern of cleanups. If you want to get involved, and we really hope you do, sign up on burgessyachts.com.
Wow, that sounds very cool.
Yeah. It is necessary, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, yeah. I have done some of those garbage pickup, and it's it seems like an endless job. Very, very useful, though, to do.
Yeah.
So for our data close-up this week, we're going back to Palm Beach. It was definitely an eventful one this year, not least because of that storm that you mentioned that blew in through day two and three. But according to the brokers on the ground, rain didn't stop play. And in fact, far from it. As the brokers like to say, while the tire kickers stayed away, the more serious yacht buyers donned some rain gear like you and I did and got down to business. So we did ask our research director, Rafael Continuo, to have a closer look at the final numbers in Palm Beach for us. And those numbers that we're presenting today are slightly different than some of the ones that we mentioned last week. So Lucy, you want to kick us off?
So there were 143 yachts in all this year. And the total LOA in meters was 5,203.
Wow, 5K.
Yeah. And then the average was LOA was 36.4 meters. And then total GT was 43,554. Average GT 305. And then motor yachts, there were 142. And one sail.
I'm sorry to say I didn't see it.
I think I did. But I'm not going to say because I might get it wrong. And then the average age was 11 and a half years old. And then there was semi-custom. It was a semi-custom show, I think. But you'll tell me more. It was 111. Semi-customs. And then in terms of yacht lengths, there were 3 70 meters plus, and then 11 50 to 70 meters, 25 40 to 50 meters, 55 30 to 40 meters, and then 49 24 to 30 meters. So yeah, 30 to 40 meters seem to be the category of sweet, the show.
Yeah, sweet spot for that show for sure. So we're going to just dig a little deeper into the 24 meter plus new yachts in show.
Yeah.
Among the new yachts at the show, there were 25 yachts that were delivered in 2023 and 2024. Among these, 25, 6 were US debuts, and then there were 3 world debuts, so never seen in the show before. This included the Menier Ancora and the Ocean Alexander 35B, which we mentioned previously, and the Outer Reef 830. Except for one, the Canada's Oceanic 143, all are semi-customs series. I believe that the Shipyard Canada actually has the ambition of building the Oceanic 143 as a series, but it was inspired by one owner's desire, so I guess we consider it more custom at this point. 11 of these boats were from Italy, five were from the United Kingdom, 4 from Taiwan, 3 from Turkey, and 2 from China. Notably, there were no new builds from U.S. Yard at this show, which is not unusual these days. However, the U.S. built yachts were well represented on the brokerage market, and they were in second place in terms of the numbers at the show, just behind the Italian yachts. In all, 39 yachts were from Italy, 38 from the USA, 22 from Taiwan, 15 from the Netherlands, and 8 from the United Kingdom.
Interesting.
Yeah. So here are the five largest yachts. Can you guess which one was the largest, Lucy?
Casino.
It's kind of hard because there is some of them in Rainbow Beach we're not quite considered being the show. But
yeah, Casino Royale.
Yeah.
72 meters.
That's right. Excellent. She had a very good spot. Yeah. The 72-meter Casino Royale from Tonkawa was, in fact, the biggest one in show, followed by Talisman C from Turquoise. She's 70.5 meter. Then the very prominent Fetship Joy, which is 70 meters, followed by Triumph from Benetti, which had a great spot in the show and was very obviously there at 65.4 meter. And then finally, the 61-meter Marguerite, which is a build from Lursen for sale with Moran Yacht at the moment.
Have you been on any of those? Have you seen those?
All of them.
All of them?
Yes.
which is your favorite?
Oh, no, you cannot ask that. I'm going to get in so much trouble.
No.
Well, I'll tell you, I wrote Casino Royale when she was in Casino Royale, and I quite have an attachment to that boat from Tonkawa. I thought it was very beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. I love the art on Triumph by Benetti. It has the most spectacular collection of artistic wildlife photography that I've seen in a while. Just gorgeous. Mm. Joy from Fretship is a gorgeous yacht, though. I like it's a very kind of great ratio of outside interior spaces. She's not really voluminous. And on the opposite side of that is Marguerite, which is really voluminous. She's got a huge interior. She's quite beautiful as well. And for somebody who needs loads of space, that's definitely one good one to look at for sure. And of course, I'm always a fan of Turquoise and I like Talisman Sea. So there you go.
So you can't choose. Okay.
No commitment at all. All right. And then we have also looked at who had the most boats on display, and the five builders by number of yacht displays at the show were Ocean Alexander from Taiwan, San Lorenzo, Azimut Benetti, Fetship, Horizon, also from Taiwan, and Westport, our U.S. builder, one of our more prolific U.S. builder, was there with seven yachts, so well represented as well.
Okay, great. Brilliant.
Yes, there you have it.
So really interesting stats there. Okay, so on to our brokerage picks of the week. Do you want to kick us off, Cecile?
Yeah, I feel like I'm always talking, but okay, I'll go.
No.
This one is a pick from Palm Beach Boat Show as well, and it's a 54-meter motor yacht Liberty, about 187 feet, which was built in aluminum in the USA by Trinity Yacht. She was delivered in 2012 and refitted in 2018. Her Art Deco interior is by Evan K. Marshall, and it's quite extraordinary with tons of barrels and magnificent painting in the staircase, super rich, beautiful. Liberty, which is on sale with IYC, was repainted in 2020, and her 10-year survey was completed in 2022.
So have you been on her?
Yeah, I walked through at the Palm Beach International Boat Show, and she looks to be in fantastic shape despite being quite an active charter yacht in the last few years. She was built for entertaining, and it shows. On the technical side, she reaches 14 knots cruising speed and 20 knots maximum speed with a range of up to 4,360 nautical miles at 10 knots. Wow, that's precise. she has advanced stabilization, which ensures comfort at sea, of course. Yeah, I got on board in Palm Beach and then quickly realized I knew her already back in the day as Lady Linda. She's not a cookie cutter yacht by any means, and she's a trip before you ever leave the dock. again, listed with IYC, she's asking $24,750,000.
Does that often happen that you get on a yacht and say, I've been on it before?
Yeah. Well, especially since apparently I don't take the time to prepare that much before the boat show. And really, I had not followed the name changes on that boat. So, but it didn't take long before I realized what boat this was.
I mean, as a newbie, as I keep saying, it is horrifically complicated. You need to have a sort of photographic memory, or you need to have a really good memory. So, I need to start revising. But anyway, so I'll let you off talking for a little bit because it's my turn to give my brokerage tip of the week.
Which one is that?
So I would have to choose the 53-meter 2000-built yacht Friendship, which is listed for sale with joint agents John Cohen of Merlewood and Associates and Martin Worms of Camberley International. Designed by the A Group of Monaco, which are a respected, long-established naval architect firm, and Dutch builder Ocean Co. She has a strong charter history and is asking €14.75 million, and she's lying in Via Reggio, Italy, just around the corner of Monaco. And I love the fact she has a split-level owner's suite and a private outdoor deck. And she also has another jacuzzi on the sun deck and a gymnasium. And she has quite a long range of just over 5,000 nautical miles. And she's a really elegant yacht.
Yeah, it's a lovely yacht. So just a tidbit also, you know, the founder of A Group, it was actually also the founder of Ocean Co. back in the day. That was his yard. One of the very, very nice, iconic yachts in the industry.
Yeah, it's a small world, this industry, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Oh, it's really interesting. And I'm so glad that I am now a part of it and learning lots.
That's wonderful. It's so good to have somebody with an outside look for a change. You know, we kind of get used to things, and it's great that you bring this outside look in. It's refreshing. And it's certainly been quite a lot of fun to speak with you this week, Lucy.
Thank you. And it's been fun speaking to you as well.
And it's been a few weeks of many firsts for you. First Palm Beach Boat Show, first podcast.
Yeah, first news podcast, yes.
Oh, wow. Thank you. So what else is coming your way?
I've got a few things in up my sleeve. So I've got the Venice Boat Show coming up in May. I'm hoping to see the catamaran Art Explorer, which is stopping off at Venice as part of her tour. She's the I don't know if you have heard, but she's the world's largest sailing catamaran, and she spends half her time as a museum boat, bringing art to the people, and sailing around 15 ports around Southern Europe. So she's really interesting boat, and I'm so lucky to be writing a report about her for an upcoming issue in the magazine. So
yeah, that's awesome. That is a really cool project.
Really interesting. So yes, I've got a couple of trips to Italy. What about you? What are your plans?
Well, I'm also Venice bound, as it turns out, pretty shortly. I'll be attending the World Superyacht Awards, which takes place there. And then I have left a few days open so I could visit shipyards, and I'm looking for boats that are nearly finished so we could try to light them up for features for the magazines and the books. So if any of our builders and designer friends are listening and you are in the general area of Venice, we'll travel for boats, please let me know and I'll be there. Anyway, it sounds like we could chat all day long, but you're quite busy, and maybe we should wrap things up. What do you think?
Yes, well, it was lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much, Cecile, and see you soon.
See you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Adam Geest and Naomi Wilson, and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.